What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is almost here. Feels good to say those words. We're about 4 weeks away from the college football season getting started. And that means we need to talk a bunch of college football on this show between now and the first weekend in September. Joining me to do just that, he covers college football nationally for the Orlando Sentinel. You can find him on Twitter at OS Matt Mershall. Matt Mershall joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, great to have you on the show. How excited are you for the college football season coming up, my friend?
It's been great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. I think we've had three or four months where we've just kind of been doing a lot of guesswork and talking about what could happen, what might happen, who's going to be taking over starting quarterback, who's going to be the number one team in the country. Now we're actually into camps this past week. So college football is here, and we're ready for it and looking forward to the next, 3 weeks before the Florida-Miami game starts to kick things off.
Yeah, it should be great. And, I'm looking at the coaches' preseason poll, which came out this week, and I want to ask you about some specific teams and maybe some teams that were on there that shouldn't, teams that weren't on there that should be, things like that. But as I look at a lot of the teams on here, Matt, these are a lot of the teams that are on here have been impacted in some way, either positively or negatively, over the last few years by quarterback transfers. And I feel like that's just become this huge bubbling thing in college football. Quarterbacks transferring, figuring out early on, it's not going to work out at this big-time school I'm at. So they're transferring to other big-time schools and a lot of times getting waivers to be able to play early on. Just in general, I want to talk about that with you. Just how impactful do you think the transfer rules have been on college football, especially at the quarterback position, and how much more do you see that evolving and in what ways over the next few years?
Well, I think it's been a huge story. I agree with you with what's happened over the last year or so. We've seen a lot of these guys who maybe would have normally stayed a couple of years, maybe normally would have gone in and maybe tried to have a battle quarterback competition, try to win some jobs. Instead, now they've jumped in that transfer portal and they found maybe opportunities elsewhere. In some cases, it's a good thing for these quarterbacks. Maybe it's time to move on. Maybe it's time to continue their careers elsewhere. They feel like they've got some other situations going on in their lives. But for some of these guys, I think the thing that's disturbing is younger and younger guys. We're seeing freshmen now who get to a school and realize this maybe not be the best fit for them, or they get somewhere and realize, this job isn't going to be mine over the next couple of years. I don't want to sit around and wait two or three years behind somebody on the depth chart. I want to try to be able to start right now. And we're seeing the impact. I mean, in some cases, I think it's going to be huge. Look at Oklahoma, for instance. Jalen Hurts arrives. That gives them another quarterback to come in right behind. We saw Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Now Jalen Hurts is there. That probably puts Oklahoma in the top five in my book when you look at how they were going to be when they go into the season. You look at Ohio State with Justin Fields. That's going to be a huge deal for them. Joe Burrow comes in at LSU. That was big for them. Michigan got Shea Patterson. You talk about that coaches poll. You look up and down those top 25 teams, and I think there's a large group of these guys that are really going to be impacted, when it comes to getting these, transfer quarterbacks. So I think this is something we'll continue to see. I don't know necessarily if we'll see as many young guys doing it as much, but I think you will see guys who will definitely take advantage of the portal, definitely take advantage of moving on somewhere else and trying to maybe have an impact elsewhere and helping some other teams.
In a weird way, Matt, it's become kind of like, as you were rattling off all those names, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this sounds like the NBA offseason, where all these star players are moving around. Like six of the top 12 players in the NBA change teams in the offseason. It's almost like this transfer portal with quarterbacks has become sort of the poor man's college football version of all the player movement that went on in the NBA when you see these quarterbacks moving around.
Yeah, honestly, when you talk to coaches sometimes, they're able to use it as well to take advantage of situations. There are some programs that maybe they lost a quarterback to an injury. Maybe they need someone else. A great example of that would be UCF, for instance, down here in our neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. McKenzie Milton goes down hurt. they get a graduate transfer in, you know, Brandon Wimbush from Notre Dame. That was huge for them because eventually, you know, he's a guy who could probably step into that role and maybe kind of help transition this team offensively this next year as Milton tries to come back from that devastating knee injury. They also had Daryl Mack, a guy who played a couple games last year. He got hurt as well. So in some situations, it's huge for a coach to be able to look at that transfer portal and say, okay, we've got a couple guys here that maybe we're interested in. You know, I think Florida State's doing the same sort of thing. They got a guy in Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin. He comes in now and he provides them with a little bit of depth at that quarterback position. So sometimes coaches can take advantage of this and be able to help strengthen some positions, while others sometimes they just happen to luck out and get a kid who decided to land there, and it's really kind of helped them maybe take that next step to become an elite program.
It's almost like you're looking at my notes, Matt, and I'm talking to Matt Mercial of the Orlando Sentinel, because you just brought up two teams that I wanted to ask you about, in part because they're in your part of the country down there, but I think they're two of the more intriguing teams. First, UCF, you mentioned Brandon Wimbush transferring there. The overall direction of the program since Scott Frost left, is this a program that can continue to sustain that level of success in that group of five level, where they're the team that everybody's sort of maybe talking about in November as being, you know, at the very least in a New Year's Six Bowl, or at least cracking some discussion on, hey, maybe this should be an 8-team playoff?
Yeah, I think they can be. I think there's a team right now that, you know, when Scott Frost left the program, I think you saw how UCF, you know, really the framework was there, the foundation was there, and you're seeing Josh Heupel come in, and he's been able to continue that. And I think a lot of that, you know, talking with some of the players who've been here over the last 3 or 4 years, is, you know, there's a deep family kind of a buildup in this program. I mean, these guys really care for each other. They really look out for each other. You know, I think that has helped them kind of keep their elevate themselves and keep their program at the same level. Also, they brought in a lot of talent over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, they've really hit the talent market well when it comes to recruiting. They've gotten a lot of money when it comes to boosters coming in, you know, giving donations. They're upgrading a lot of the facilities. They're building a new football office. They have a new weight room, new locker rooms. Those are all things in a way that help out because they attract more players to come there. And then you add in the fact they get a guy like Brandon Wimbush who, you know, played at Notre Dame. I mean, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, that may not have been a possibility. And they've also got some other guys who are coming in as transfers from other Power 5 schools. So you're seeing this program now starting to land some of that talent that maybe they wouldn't have gotten before. And I think that's going to be huge for them as they move forward, because I think they can continue to be the top group of five team over the next couple of years, as long as they continue to kind of do the things they've been doing, you know, since Scott Frost was here.
Matt Mercial, Orlando Sentinel, joining me on CBS Sports Radio, talking some college football. The other team that you mentioned in a previous answer was Florida State, who obviously this you know, sort of tail off, this descent started with the last year of Jimbo Fisher and then got worse in the first year of Willie Taggart. What's the level of, I guess, the level of finger pointing that's going on right now as to why this program is where it is? And what would you say the trajectory is now for this program heading into year two under Willie Taggart?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of, when you're talking about finger point, I think there was a lot of discussion about that, especially during the off season. You know, there are a lot of people who feel like, you know, Jimbo Fisher left this program in a lot worse shape than people kind of thought that was going to happen. You know, that the fact that they didn't recruit well over those last couple of years he was there, they really didn't develop the talent in some positions, specifically on the offensive line, which was a really abysmal last year. You know, they really couldn't protect the quarterback at all. I think that Willie Taggart is getting things on the right track. I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, they bring in a new offensive coordinator in Kendall Briles, who's got a history of producing pretty high-powered offenses. That's going to try to help them out a little bit. Maybe they can kind of take advantage of that, put more points up. They've also recruited better than they have over the last couple of years. They still need to continue to develop that talent. But, you know, this is a fan base right now that is not used to not going to bowl games, not used to being, you know, mentioned in the top 25. You mentioned that coaches poll. They weren't in that coaches poll, and that's the first for a long time. So this fan base is wants to get back on track and wants to get to win some games. And there's a lot of pressure on Willie Taggart to kind of get this program turned around quickly. And I think he's going to get there because that's what he's done in the past, but I just don't think it's going to happen overnight. I don't think you go from 5 wins to 11 wins and you're competing with Clemson and you're in the mix for the ACC championship. I'm just not sure that's going to happen overnight. I think they can do that in the next 2 or 3 years, but I think it's going to take a little bit of development. And I think they need some players to step up. They need James Blackman at quarterback. He needs to step into that role and become an elite quarterback. And they need some guys on the defensive side of the football to step up as well. But this is a program, I think it's on the right track. It's just kind of had a down year last year, and it's kind of a mix of lack of talent in some positions and lack of development of depth around there.
Matt Mercer, Orlando Sentinel, covers college football nationally for the Orlando Sentinel. Joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Last one before I let you go, Matt, as we both mentioned here, the coaches poll, preseason poll, came out this week. Give me one team that is in the top 25 that you feel maybe shouldn't be, is a little overrated, and give me one team that the coaches didn't put in the top 25 that you feel should be in the top 25.
Well, we talk about overrated. I mean, to me, our concern is Stanford. You know, it's Stanford at number 23. I'm a little bit concerned about that team. You know, you look at what they come back. They really struggled last year running the football. They got away from something that really was their bread and butter. They're going to have to bring in some new offensive linemen, develop some of that as well. But this is David Shaw, and he's done that in the past. This is a program right now going into the season. I think, you know, you wonder where they're at, especially when you look at the Pac-12 North. With Washington State, and Oregon kind of coming back, it's going to be difficult for them. We're talking about teams maybe they're on the outside, you know, looking in on that coaches poll. Listen, I think you could throw Army in that mix if you really wanted to. I know it's not used to saying that, you know, what the trajectory of that program's been, but you look at what they've done the last 3 years. This is a program that's on the right track. They're finding ways to win games. You look at their schedule this year. They travel to Michigan. I think it's the second game of the season. They have an opportunity to win 10 or 11 games again this year. I think they could finally find their way in the top 25 if they play their cards right. And they could give Michigan a hard time. You know, I mean, they gave Oklahoma a pretty good game last year as well. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue that kind of streak of success.
I live in Houston, Matt, so I know all about Army. I watched the bowl game last year where they hung 70 on Houston and ended the Major Applewhite era. So you don't need to do any selling to me on Army. They are Munkin's got a really good football team with Army. Hey, man, really appreciate the time. Matt Mercer, Orlando Sentinel. You can get him on Twitter at OS Matt Mercer. And he has a podcast, too. Good podcast. Gridiron 365 podcast that you can download. All the places you get podcasts as well. Matt, appreciate the time. Hope to do it again with you soon, and looking forward to that season getting started, man.
All right, looking forward to it. Have a good afternoon.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.